Welcome to God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith. I'm your host, Chuck Groover, and what I'm going to do is first we're going to do kind of a recap of pretty much what I covered the last two of the Bible study episodes. A couple months ago, I brought you originally the concept of a radical faith and pretty much discussed four aspects regarding what radical faith looks like. From what a radical faith looks like according to pretty much what Jesus calls his disciples to, how it consists of acknowledging both who Christ is as well as his authority, placing him as the most important thing in our lives, if not the only priority in our lives, and focusing on showing love to others rather than being self-focused. And then last month, I looked at Noah and how his faith, he was tasked with undertaking a monumental task, and because of his faith was able to preserve a remnant of every living thing on the earth. How he basically trusted and believed God was going to do what God said and built a boat for himself and his family, as well as two of every animal to ride out the flood that came basically what some believe 120 years after he was initially tasked with building the boat. And so now, I know some of us may be asked to undertake a job that appears to be on the crazy side like Noah was, but he's also not the only one in the Bible to exhibit a radical faith. This week, I want you to think, this week, I want you to think, as mentioned, you may not be asked to do a task that may appear to be crazy, like building a boat in the middle of the desert, but what about being called to pack up and relocate to another area geographically? How about feeling called to move, even leaving employment lined up in the city without having any sort of employment or really way of financially surviving in another city that you're being called to? Or not even knowing exactly where you're going to be moving to. You're just told, start moving. Pack up, start heading out, and I will tell you where to go. I'll tell you when you get there. Well, that is just pretty much some of the acts of faith that the person I want to talk about this time displayed. And if you haven't guessed who it is that I'm hinting at, one good hint would be that I have at times heard this person being referred to as the father of faith. And actually, three major religions find their roots in his faith. I'm talking about Abraham. So what are some of the things that make Abraham's faith so radical? Well, let's first look at how we are introduced to Abraham, or as he was called at that time, Abram. In Genesis chapter 11, verses 27 through 32, we see, these are the family records of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran fathered Lot. Haran died, in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans during his father Terah's lifetime. Abram and Nahor took wives. Abram's wife was named Sarai, and Nahor's wife was named Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Sarai was unable to conceive. She did not have a child. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, Haran's son, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they set out together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years and died in Haran. Now, these verses don't really provide much background into who Abram was, except that at one time he lived in Ur of the Chaldeans, and then in Haran. But in Joshua 24:2, we find pretty much this statement regarding Abram and his lineage. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods." What this means is that at one time, Abraham was not even a believer. He was essentially a pagan, which makes his reaction to God's call astounding, as we find in Genesis 12, 1 through 4. The Lord said to Abram, "Go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you, or who treat you with contempt. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Alright, so focusing on verse 4, we see that Abram went as the Lord had told him, meaning Abram left his family gods to follow the one true God, to go to a land in which he had no idea where he was heading, and at the age of 75. Nowadays, people are often looking at retiring, or they have retired by that age. They're not looking at embarking on some new unknown adventure. Then we go on in Genesis 12, 5 through 8, and see, he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people he had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the site of Shechem at the Oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I'll give this land to your offspring." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. He built an altar to Yahweh there, and he called on the name of Yahweh. So after being called by this deity, until recently he had never heard of, to go to a land he had no clue about, what did Abram do? Well, he packed everything up and left, along with his wife and nephew. Not only that, but he built altars to this deity and worshipped him. See, Abram turned his back on his past and looked to the promises God provided, which seemed far-fetched, as, again, at that time, Abram was 75 and he had no offspring yet. But God promised the land to Abram's offspring. Abraham's faith was so radical because he completely sold out to this God he had never previously worshipped. This became evident when, after Abram had his promised offspring, which came when he was 100, God asked him to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice. Abraham's faith was that he believed God's promise that a nation would come from Isaac, that he would inherit the land of Canaan, and that he was willing to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, trusting that God had a plan. It is said that Abraham's faith is an example for all Christians who want to walk by faith, as he was saved by faith, lived by faith, and obeyed due to his faith. Even when he did not know the how, when, where, or why. Now, I don't know fully about how Abraham felt, but I know about 4 years ago, back 2011, I was offered an internship that could have led to a job in Richmond, Virginia. As this was an unpaid position, I was unsure about going. This was also a position that I felt like God wanted me to take, and found that as I became willing to go, things pretty much fell into place to help me afford making the trip up to Richmond for at least the summer. And while that didn't really last past the internship, I still felt as though that is where God had wanted me for that time in my life, as I feel it helped to develop me into who I am now. Now, that being said, Abraham, much like Noah, was not perfect in his walk with the Lord, and encountered a number of setbacks of his own, some of which led to future consequences to him or his descendants. If one were to look at Abraham's life of faith, it almost resembles a school with a series of tests, some of which he passed, such as leaving his family and friends to go to an unknown land to live, and the ultimate test of being willing to offer up his promised offspring as a burnt sacrifice. However, there were a number of tests in which Abraham failed as well. The first one that we encounter is actually seen in Genesis 12, 10 through 20. There was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while, because the famine in the land was severe. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "Look, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' They will kill me, but let you live. Please say you are my sister, so that it will go well for me because of you, and my life will be spared on your account." When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw the woman was very beautiful. Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to Pharaoh. So the woman was taken to Pharaoh's household. He treated Abram well because of her, And Abram acquired flocks and herds, male and female donkeys, male and female slaves, and camels. But the Lord struck Pharaoh and his household with severe plagues because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh sent for Abram and said, "What have you done to me? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister, so that I took her as my wife? Now here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave his men orders about him, and they sent him away with his wife and all he had. Pretty much in this instance, God never ordered Abraham to go to Egypt. And then, out of fear, Abraham had Sarah lie about being Abraham's wife. Basically, this faltering in Abraham's faith had consequences that he had to live with. One was quite likely the result was basically picking up of an Egyptian slave by the name of Hagar, which resulted eventually in the birth of Ishmael, which was another area in Abraham's faith where Abraham's faith faltered as he tried rushing God's timing for a son and also produced the formation of one group that over time was always fighting with Israel. It also affected how those traveling with him as pretty much part of the reason Lot settled in Sodom and Gomorrah when they split was because that area was looked very similar to how it looked in Egypt. And that decision led to a number of issues within Lot's life. And also this lesson wasn't one that Abraham pretty much learned right off the bat of trusting God, that God would not, that basically God would protect Abraham through famine, also keep Abraham from being killed from people in another nation because of his wife, because a number of years later, again, Abraham went where he wasn't supposed to go, lied about Sarah to protect himself. But while he had these hiccups in his faith, he's still pretty much one that, as Christians, we're called to look up to because of his faith. I mean, often both Paul and James, when they're talking about faith, one of the main people they refer to is Abraham. He is their prime example of faith. So, what can we learn about from Abraham's faith? Well, the first thing is that pretty much God can call us at any time and anywhere. Remember, Abraham was 75 years old when God first called him. And at a time when Abraham was more than likely worshiping a moon god rather than the Almighty God, as that was the most likely the deity worshipped both in Ur of the Chaldeans as well as in Haran. Second, if we falter in our faith, we shouldn't give up, but turn back to God and learn from our mistakes. However, even though we turn back to God and ask for forgiveness when we fall, we also need to realize that there are still consequences that we will have to live with. But remember, God will still work through them. And finally, remember that God is faithful, and we should wait on His timing rather than try to speed His will along or think that we know better. I mean, one thing I can think of is the pastor that I worked with at that internship in Richmond. I'm still in contact with him. And there's still a possibility that the Lord could call me to work with him again as he tries to get that church, a church there in Richmond, or a church plant there in Richmond, established. I pray about God's will in regarding to it, and knowing that, and am open to the possibility of God calling me back up to Richmond to work with him there. In fact, earlier this week, I had gotten a text from him, and he was even asking about that, and my answer was, if the Lord wills and opens the doors, then I would be going up to Richmond to work with him. So, it could be that back in 2011 was just the origination of the call, because even though I didn't cover it, when you look at Abraham's life, it was about 25 years from when God originally called him, with the first mentioning of Abraham having offspring, to when Isaac was actually born. And the last thing that we can take away from this is kind of one lesson I actually learned the hard way. When I went to college, I majored in computer science because that was where the jobs were. And then while I was in college, the dot-com bubble burst, and the market was flooded pretty much with out-of-work IT people. When I finally had gotten a job, I thought I knew better and knew what type of job I should have had, only to have gotten that job and then fail at it and get fired. It was then 2 years after getting fired, I felt and accepted God's call to ministry, and all through that time and beyond, I have been learning about waiting on God's timing in regards to getting into ministry and since I have graduated from seminary, I find that I've been getting involved with a number of different ministries. And as I said, if God leads and opens doors for it, working back up there in Richmond with that church plant, that's getting close to almost 11 years of waiting on God's timing. So as I leave, let me ask you this. If you're a Christian, are you willing to trust God if He asks you to relocate? Whether or not there would be a known job waiting where you're relocating to, are you willing to say, God, I may not know what is waiting for me here, but I'm willing to go? Or perhaps God has called you to something and you are waiting on God. Will you wait patiently on His timing, or will you try to do it yourself? If you're not a Christian, if God calls you, Would you be willing to turn to him in faith? Would you be willing to turn from your old life and beliefs to follow him? I'm not going to say it's going to be easy. I mean, even for those of us that have been Christians for years, it's not always easy. In fact, if you really get into reading the Bible, we're told it's not going to be easy. We're actually promised it's not going to be easy. But one thing I like to say is that when you put God in control, buckle up, hold on tight, and enjoy the ride, because it is an adventure. So, again, this is Chuck Groover. That was The Faith of Abraham, and that's God at Work.
Thank you for listening to God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at God at Work Podcast. If you have comments, suggestions, or a story you would like to be considered for the podcast, you can email us at stories@godatworkpodcast.com. If you enjoy this podcast and want to help support us, go to patreon.com/godatworkpodcast, or you can also support us by leaving us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith, is brought to you by Becoming God's Man Ministries, and is recorded and produced by me, Chuck Groover. Theme music for God at Work is by the band 39 Stripes, and can be found at facebook.com/39stripes. And again, thank you for listening.